From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I have my friend Tom Reif with me, and Tom and I are going to talk all about WordPress security. Sit back, relax, grab a drink, and learn as Tom and I have the conversation. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here, and today I'm here with my good friend and security expert, Tom Reif. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good, Robert. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good, man. You know, it's funny. We were just talking, as I always do with guests before the show, and I was thinking, geez, I need to start recording these outtakes because sometimes the conversations are better than the podcast, eh?
Sometimes, yeah.
So we're going to jump into some stuff. There's a lot going on in the security world. We I don't know if I've ever asked you, do you use a password manager or do you avoid them like the plague?
I avoid them like the plague.
Okay. So you don't even go to, I know our mutual friend Kathy Zen has a theory where you put your passwords in and you don't put the last string of the passwords in and you make them common across. You even avoid tactics like that?
Yeah, no. I've got my own way of handling things, and people have asked me about it and then they pick it apart. And so I just like, nah, I got my own way and I just move on.
I'm just curious. So one of the things I've done for years as a security, as being in the security space, is I don't run a virus checker or a malware checker on my PC. I know you're shaking your head. Now, what I do is a manual scan once a month, but I do not run. So I'm just as bad. So there you go.
Wow.
And then the other thing I do, which isn't WordPress related, is when I do banking, I fire up a virtual machine and I do my banking in a virtual machine and then delete the file as soon as I'm done.
Yeah. I can go along with that.
Yeah, I know you can. Because there's been some issues in Canada where we all know about phishing schemes, right?
Right.
People have clicked on fake bank links, and then they scream at the bank and say, you stole our money. No, the bank didn't steal your money. That's the hacker. So interestingly enough, and I know we'll get to what we talked about, they're actually saying the best way to protect yourself from fraud in banking is do it from your mobile app on your smartphone or your tablet because they can't go anywhere else.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of – you see it all the time, you know, mobile app is, found, you know, vulnerable to, you know, 0-day exploit and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's, yep. I'm the same as you. I fire up a virtual, do what I need to do, close it out. It's all gone.
Yep. That's why I do it. I mean, I should tell you, I think I've shared with you before, I've been the victim of bank fraud in the last 3 years. Yeah. And as of last week, since the last time we talked, my MasterCard has been compromised for the fifth time in the last 2 years. I know. Ouch. And I'm a security guy. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Do you do all your work in a Linux environment, Tom, or a Windows environment or a Mac environment? What do you prefer?
Windows and Linux.
Okay. So you're where I sit.
Yeah. Yeah. It I enjoy Linux. I grew up, you know, with DOS.
Me too.
So you know. So yeah, and I used to call Bill Gates Uncle Bill. Yep. Back when I was in my IT consulting days, every time they came out with a new version of something, you know, I knew I had plenty of work to do. You know, I'd contact my customers and say, hey, you know, see the new update? Yep. Why don't you come on in, give us a quote on what's going to cost to upgrade, you know, 660 PCs or, you know, 900 servers across the country. You know, just give us a price and let's go. All right. So. Yeah.
I don't miss those days. I come from the same background, and I really don't miss it. There's a really good book out there. I don't know if you're familiar with Paul Thurrott, the big Windows journalist, and he's mm-hmm. written a book which you can get on LeanPub. I'm trying to think of the name. I think it's called Essential Windows. He walks you down the history of all the Windows versions. You might find that interesting, but... But Paul's one of those really knowledgeable journalists. He's not a Microsoft fanboy by any means. He's interesting. So some of that going on. I'm like you. I work in Windows and Linux these days. Depends what I'm doing. Depends what I'm looking for. Depends what my mood is. Do you run anything like RAID storage for backup in your house or anything like that?
No, not in the house. You know, I have a NAS that I back up everything to, but, you know, we've got various places online. I store, you know, files and so on, but, you can't say it's intuitive because it's not. As soon as as soon as I start hearing people, I hear it all the time. And unfortunately from web devs, like, oh no, I just, you know, I don't run any antivirus. I don't do the, you know, I don't, like, oh. And they're like, yeah. I just know what websites to stay away from. I'm like, you do know why I'm contacting you, right? Because you got infected websites.
Yeah.
And like, oh yeah, that's, you know, probably some 0 day, you know, they start throwing out terms. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I agree. I've gone to two Synologies. I have one here. And then I have one halfway across the city. So the house burns down at a good friend's house. The compromise is somebody pays a second internet bill every month. It's okay. It's a good deal. And it just kind of churns away. And the way Synologies work is if you have two of them, you can set it up so they sync automatically at night. So they sync.
Nice.
And then I've got, the biggest joke in my house is how big are the hard drives that I'm running externally? I'm looking at two external 14 terabytes beside me as we speak, just because I can, you know.
Yeah.
You're laughing, but you know what us guys are like, right? Go ahead.
Go ahead. I've got systems online, you know, except we collect log files from over 10 million websites now. And so we've got petabytes of storage online. And people are like, oh, so, you know, you probably just store your stuff up there. I'm like, no. I don't mix, you know, personal and business. I do not mix.
It's such a good idea. I'm going to jump into we'll start with the subject of backups. Cause you and I got involved in a Facebook group conversation the other day in Stephanie Hudson's group. Right. I think it was.
Yeah. I think so.
And the reason I mention backups is you need to kind of test them. So I had an incident about 12 years ago, 14 years ago, more than that, actually. And I was in a hospital for a week. I came home and I turned on my computer. In those days, laptops were expensive and I was running a desktop at home. And all I heard was ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And you know what that sounds like, right? Even in the business, I'm going to... And my then partner at the time said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to the store to buy a new hard drive. And at the time, it was even more than 14 years ago. It was about 17 or 18. I was running Carbonite on my desktop.
There you go. Yep.
So I did a restore. I let it run for a couple of days. I didn't lose anything. I've had probably 3 or 4 hard drives go bad, really bad. And I don't think I've ever lost an ounce of data. What is the number one problem with backups? And I know your answer.
Yeah, they're untested.
That's correct.
Or like I said, I'll tell people, you've got two types of data. Data that's backed up and validated,
mm-hmm.
or data that's lost. And usually it ends with, and guess which one you have?
So I did a restore from a site recently, a client out east that was a referral. And do you know they were running backups, but they didn't know what Google Drive account they put them in? You're laughing because you've heard this, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you want me to do? Like, I'm sorry. So backups are untested. How's the easiest way to test the backup?
Restore it.
Okay. When you don't need it, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Test it before you need it. Always.
There is a reason that Fortune 500s of banks, insurance, and financial companies do what I call disaster recovery days, right? So they're not in this position.
Right. Yep. No. Yeah, and that's, but you can't get, the problem is you can't get people to do that because then it's like, okay, well, how do I test it? So I have to restore it someplace, and then I have to, come up with a URL so I can actually check the site and make sure everything, So yeah, it's a strange situation, but. I think if somebody were to make it easy for people to like validate their backups, it's a whole new world then.
Yeah. But I would say it's easier today than it was 20 years ago.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, 20 years ago, backups were a mess, right?
Oh yeah. Big time. Big time they were. And it's still not. It's not much better now, put it that way.
Yeah. So. But is it not being better now because the technology is not there, or is it not better now because the user is lazy? Or a bit of both?
Yeah, I hate to say that people are lazy, even though some are, but I think that the technology is not there, for a lot of people. Like I said, if there was a system, that you could say, okay, send your backup here and then go to this URL and check it. People would be like, oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I see. All right. Or, something didn't carry over, something, didn't happen, et cetera. I don't know, but
yeah.
And the other thing, since we're talking about backups, is I can't tell you the number of times people have gone to they get a hacked website and they're like, well, I'm just going to restore it. And, I've got a backup from, 4 days ago, a week ago, whatever. And they don't realize, how long ago their site was hacked. So they're restoring infected files onto their live site. And then they do that 3 or 4 times. And then I get the call, hey, I've restored 4 or 5 times and it's, my site's still infected. Can you jump on it? Oh, yeah, sure I will.
But it's funny because it used to be you could keep, if you kept 3 months of backups, you were probably good. And now I don't think that's enough, to be honest with you.
Oh, no.
I actually keep clients' backups on my NAS for a 1 year period.
Wow.
And I actually download. So when I do that, generally as a rule, I'll keep them 3 or 4 times a week. If a client wants more, they pay more. I've got a couple of e-commerce clients that want daily backups kept for a year, and they pay for that. And because they know the cost of losing their e-commerce site is big dollars.
Right.
So, and a couple of those sites are actually backed up 3 and 4 times a day, not once a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You can never have enough backups. You just can't. It's, yeah. You know, and you know, the whole, you got to have them offsite. You know, the number of people that have come to me from, you know, some of the large hosting providers, like, hey, all my backups are gone. You know, can you help me? Well, you know, I can work magic at times, but not magic like that.
No. And please don't depend on your hosting provider for backups, because we were talking before we went there. There's several hosting providers that have had backup servers hacked. And then what do you do?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, the sysadmins for the hosting provider, you know, I don't know. I won't say goofed, but, you know, they ran through a normal procedure and it deleted all your backups.
Like, yep.
Oh, sorry.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing we're talking about, which is really interesting, is hackers in general, right? The mindset. They're pretty smart, aren't they? They're not like stupid people typically. Like they're not, or I don't like to use the word stupid. Maybe uneducated is a better word, you know?
Right.
They're not. They're pretty, they're usually pretty bright, wouldn't you think?
For the most part, yeah. There's, you know, having been in fighting them for so long, you kind of learn their personalities without ever meeting them. And, you know, there's, as you know, there's different levels of people. You know, there's this, what they call the script kiddies, or some have even shortened it to skiddies, which, okay, you know, let's shorten the word. But yeah. And a lot of those people are individuals that, you know, the way I see it, they want to look cool to their peers. You know, hey, yeah, I'm a hacker, you know, I'm a cyber criminal. And so they just buy tools and run them. And then there's the, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, there's the people who write the tools that the script kiddies use. And those are the people that are super smart. And, you know, they'll sell their stuff on the dark web. Oh, I have to do air quotes when I say dark web, just that term has always bothered me. But anyway, people will, you know, the smart hackers will write the tools and then charge for them or charge for a service. You know, if you deposit this ransomware, you know, I get 30% of whatever you collect, you know, and so, and those people are, they're incredibly smart. So like I've said for years, you know, if hackers were to focus on a cure for cancer, there'd be no more cancer. I guarantee it.
Yep.
It just wouldn't happen. So
yeah, it's funny when you talk about attacks and ransomware, you may or may not have read in the States, the Toronto Library System went through a massive hack attempt the first week of December. And you know, all their services are saying will not be back up till the end of February. They've got books, trailers full of books, of returned books sitting in a yard. There's like 18 or 20 trailers because they can't check books back in right now. That bad. And you can't even renew memberships or anything like that. Oh, it's just awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. That, you know, they're, but you know, what people don't understand is that, you know, it's, that's how hackers make their money, you know, by hacking. It's ransomware. It's, you know, whatever they choose, you know, they have their niche and, you know, that's what they go after. And, you know, it's just, you know, we see it all the time. You know, they're constantly, you know, the possibly the low hanging fruit in all of this is websites. And they use websites to launch attacks on anything and everything. It's just, yeah, bizarre. So,
and as a small business owner, all these small businesses that say, I don't need to worry about security, they're not going to touch my website. What's your answer to that? I think I know, but
yeah, they want everything. You know, I mean, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, if you think that you're not vulnerable, that thought itself makes you vulnerable. You know, and I've said that for years, and I, you know, I don't mean to, you know, belabor the point, but you know, Mac users have been told for years, you know, you don't need antivirus. And that in itself made them targets.
Yep.
Because what, you know, you think that you're not. And I think there was some, you know, was it that book, The Art of War?
Yeah.
And I forget the saying right now, but it says something in the, you know, there's one of those catchy phrases from that book about, you know, when you think you're not susceptible to an attack, that in itself makes you susceptible. So,
So there's that. And then we were, you and I, and I know our mutual friend, Kathy Zant, is kind of in the same flavor on this one, is cookies. And let's talk about cookies. And I don't mean the ones that Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street eats in his hand. He's lovable.
Man, you're making me hungry.
Yeah, I know. What's the problem with cookies and hacking?
Oh, they're, well, I just, one of the articles I shared, I don't know if it was up on Tab, about, you know, some other security people, you know, not in the, in the web space, but protecting corporate networks and so forth. And they had a big long article about, you know, how people are so vulnerable through cookies, because an authentication cookie, if you just close out of your browser rather than logging off, it leaves that cookie open for, like on a WordPress site by default, it's valid for 48 hours. If you if you click on the remember me, it's valid for 2 weeks. So a hacker could steal that, and they don't even, it bypasses 2FA, MFA, you know, gazillion FA. It bypasses all that because you're already authenticated. So, you know, like, and I'm a guy who reads log files, you know, Kathy and the, and Jen always kid me about that. Like, oh yeah, this is the guy who reads log files for fun. And I do, but, you know, you see in a log file, an IP address, and all of a sudden it's doing something like, edit post.php. And you look, scan through the, you know, search through the log files for that same IP address. And there's no, it never went to wp-admin or wp-login.php. It went straight to an authenticated function, and or a function that requires authentication, and off they go. And so you're like, wow, you know, how'd they do that? You know, if you must not have log files back far enough, but no, they stole a session cookie.
And this is one of the reasons people shouldn't be working on websites on public terminals, right? That's just a recipe for disaster, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, they can do a man in the middle type of attack and steal the session cookie that way. You know, so the people that, you know, go into their local coffee shop and, oh, I'm going to work here all day and, you know, load up on lattes and this and that. Well, I'm getting some work done. Yeah, you log into, you know, you log into a site and it could steal everything. Yep. So, yeah, it's, and you know, I used to do that years ago as like a, just a test, when I was early on getting into security. I'd go to the local Panera Bread and I talked to the manager there and like, hey, you know, you got open Wi-Fi here, you know, is it all right if I, you know, run a test here, you know, with your permission? I said, I promise you I'm not going to steal anything, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I, the guy had seen me there numerous times and knew I just lived down the street. So like, yeah, okay. So I set up the, you know, Wi-Fi hotspot, exact same name. And people are connecting to mine, and I was actually changing stuff so that it would filter through my system. And so, like, you know, Cubs win, I'd put Cubs lose, another one. Yeah. And people are like, wait, what? You know, so, but yeah, it's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, it is. I'm at the point now where I do some work out of the house because we all get stir crazy, right? But I have a cell phone with a large data plan. And when I mean large, I'm talking in hundreds of gigabytes for that reason. So I tether to my smartphone when I'm not home because then I don't have these problems. And then the other approach I take when I go stay in hotels, I actually carry a travel router with me that has a built-in firewall. So all my devices connect to the travel router. The travel router connects to the hotel. There's a firewall on the travel router, and it tells everybody else if you're not in these IP addresses to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you almost have to, you know, I think I had mentioned to you before that, you know, in 2016, my wife and I went to Ukraine to go through the adoption process. And, we both work remote. So you know, people are like, you know, you're like in the land of hackers and you're doing work online. Well, yeah, we were tethered, you know, to the, to our cell phones. We had unlimited data plans. So it's not fast, but it's very secure. So.
Yeah. It's that old usability versus security problem. So, as far as you're concerned, session cookies, going back there, is the number one reason that WordPress sites get hacked, correct?
Yep. Our data shows that last year, 60% of WordPress sites that were hacked via stolen session cookies.
And what's the number two reason?
Stolen username and password. No, actually, it's not. That was like the third, but it's up there. The second is vulnerable, you know, themes and plugins. Yeah. So, and that's, you know, that's something that we feel that, you know, I don't have data for 2022, but it did seem like there was a lot of vulnerabilities that were being exposed, you know, in 2022. And, but then, like I said, with the data that we collected, it appears that, you know, services like Patchstack, you know, where that's really Oliver's focus is, you know, identifying vulnerabilities in core themes and plugins, and then you know, virtually patching them, reporting them, and so forth. And you know, to give credit where credit is due, WordFence does the same. You know, Mark Maunder has created their bug bounty program, and you know, he's doing a great job with that. So those, you know, those are attacking that. But you know, a stolen session cookie is, that gets down to the end user's local device. You know, that's where the hack actually happens. You know, said a lot of people just don't. I don't know. They don't. They don't know. They don't. I can't. I won't say they don't care, but they just don't know.
So that's what we're trying. And they don't. And sometimes they just don't want to be educated. I've got a client out east that's been hacked not once, not twice, but three times. And they still think it's cheaper to pay for these to be fixed than get on a security care plan. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, for some people, you know, they don't believe in an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You know, they'd rather pay the pound of cure each time and, you know, move on. So it's, you know, different strokes for different folks, as they say.
So true. So if you were to say to John, who owns a small little retail store, the three things he should do besides hire you and I, because that's always number one, right?
Right.
What should he do to protect himself?
The average Joe?
Yeah, the average Joe.
I know this is going to go against your grain, but you got to have a good antivirus.
I knew you were going to say that. I agree for most people.
Yeah. You know, but you know, at the same time, you know, if you're
is the one in Windows good? Is the one in Windows good enough?
Oh yeah, Defender. And I used to go into every forum I could and look for where people were talking about Windows Defender because it's free, and I would bash it because it was terrible at detecting the common viruses back then. But you know, Microsoft's a behemoth, so you know, and they're it's their operating system, so they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they made it better and better and better. And today, you know, to me, it's one of the best. Now, with the PC, what I recommend is that people double up, because, like, the free version of Malwarebytes will detect things that Microsoft Defender doesn't, and they both play well very nicely. You know, now, if you try and do, like, Microsoft Defender with, I don't know, Norton or McAfee, some of the more older, mature. It's not good. You know, one, your system will come to a crawl, but also a lot of times those older, mature ones will detect Microsoft Defender as a malicious file, you know, as a malicious program and kill it. Yeah. So, but, you know, you and I were talking earlier and, you know, about how smart hackers are. Yeah. I read articles all the time and research papers about how hackers have found a way to evade detection by today's antivirus programs.
Yeah, I've heard that.
They can nullify, you know, basically stop the antivirus program and prevent it from starting again. And then, you know, they've got, you know, free rein on your system. They hide it. I mean, it's just, but you have to, you know, you have to take the step, in my opinion, and have a good first line of defense. But you know, it also goes to education, which is something that we're trying to work on too, is providing education for people. You know, don't open that file, you know, even if it says it's from some friend of yours. You know, and
don't open that UPS link on your cell phone that says you got a package you don't know is coming, right?
On your cell phone, on, you know, on your desktop, on your tablet, laptop, whatever. It just don't, because you know, or you know, you're due a refund from the Facebook, you know,
from the IRS, even worse.
Yeah, from the IRS, or you know, Facebook was in a class action lawsuit, and it was determined that you know you're due a dollar amount. You know, it could be thousands of dollars. You know, we need you to log in here and do this, that, and the other thing. And
or the security expert that calls you on the phone says, can I remote to your PC? I have to share with the story around that. About a year ago, I had one do that to me. I said, sure you can. And I let him down remoting to a virtual machine for over an hour and a half because I could. He was not happy to. Well, sometimes, you know. So yeah. What's the second thing you do for a small business owner?
said, yeah, you have to have a good antivirus, but yeah, you know, education, you know, you've got to teach people what not to open.
Yeah.
And you know, a thing that I see frequently and used to see it more, but I think, you know, people are using Google, and like, Office 365 type applications now. And those two companies, that behemoths, but you know, they do provide a valuable service of trying to keep you safe and secure. But, you know, hackers would get into your system, download your address book, and then send emails, because email address is easy to spoof. Send everybody in your address book, hey, you know, like one of the current ones that you'll see on Facebook, so-and-so died.
Yep.
And all the friends see that, and they click on it like, really? Oh, man, I just talked to him like 2 weeks ago. And they click on it, and, you know, it's trying to, you know, attack your system. And hackers have no morals. So
then,
you
know,
to tell you that a friend of yours just died, they don't care. No.
And downloading the address book is one of the oldest scams going, which leads me to my next point, is your email password. All your passwords should be different, but certainly your email password.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is go to a site called If I've Been Pwned and put your email address in, and it will tell you exactly where you've been compromised.
Right. Yeah. And for people who use the same password, you know, across multiple websites, you know, the same email address and the same password across multiple websites. Ah, come on, people. Like, no, I don't need a password manager. I'm like, why? Because I use the same password across all my accounts. Like, oh no.
My problem is I can't tell you what my passwords are except for the last four characters, because I was telling you before I subscribed to something Kathy talks about a lot, is put a string at the end and make it common. But my passwords are all random. I, except for the password to get into my password manager, good luck, Rob. It's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. You know, the big thing with security, as you know, a lot of it has to do with just avoid being the low-hanging fruit. If you throw up like a couple of lines of defense, they're just going to go on to the next one because they know that there's somebody else who's totally vulnerable. So
they don't have time to go through somebody that's got five lines up. It's not happening. They just move on.
Yeah.
And would you say the third thing is probably keeping your systems and your website and everything up to date from a software perspective?
Yep, definitely. You know, when you see that Chrome's got an update, Chrome or Firefox has an update, and you're like, you know, I'll do it later. No, do it now. Because you never know. The next thing you click on, you could be vulnerable with a 0 day.
Yep. What is your favorite browser from a security perspective?
I use Chrome.
And that's probably with no extensions, right?
Oh yeah, no extensions whatsoever. Okay. You know, I was tempted when ChatGPT came on. There was one Chrome extension, I forget what it was called now, but it like prompted you with prompts for what you wanted to do, and I was like, oh man, that would be cool. And just as about ready to, you know, click the install this extension, I'm like, no, because I know nothing about this company. I know, you know, nothing about what's going on here. Nah. And then it was like 2 weeks later, I hear that, somebody was pushing around a bogus Chrome extension for ChatGPT. I'm like,
What a surprise. Yeah. Go Supremes. Thank you, Mr. Hacker.
Yeah. So, like you said, you know, I think due to the success of, you know, the virtual patching that some of these services offer, you know, hackers shifted their focus to stolen session cookies. And, you know, you can just, you can Google the word info stealer, and you'll just see tons and tons of research from, you know, Bitdefender and Sophos and, you know, every security company in the world about these info stealers and how prevalent they are. And, you know, first thing they like to do is steal cookies. And it's so automated for them. You know, it steals a cookie and then sends it off to their servers, and their servers immediately try it because they know, like, what site you were on, you know, the cookie and, you know, the policies. Like I said, we've seen stuff in our log files where while the user, the legitimate admin user is doing work on a WordPress site, traffic from another IP address comes in and starts installing bogus plugins. Like in the same session. So that's how fast they are.
Unlike our friends who tried to infiltrate the WordPress.org team and sent out a notice saying, "You've been hacked. And by the way, click here to install the plugin." You remember that one?
Yep. Yeah.
And a lot of people went and quit because it was still running around a month later, obviously. And it's like, I tested the plugin just for fun in a local environment on a virtual machine, the back doors, Tom, that it put in, just a few.
Yeah. It's, it's never ending.
And since we're talking, we've talked about education. If somebody wants to keep up to date on some of this stuff and they're an average user, where do you send them?
To be honest with you, I don't have, there's a guy, Terry Cutler, up, you know, north of our border, up in your country. And he does an excellent job. I don't remember his website, but just look up Terry Cutler, and he does an amazing job. He talks all sorts of conferences and so forth about educating people on, you know, where to, you know, what to avoid.
Mm-hmm. And then the other place I still think is a good overview, but it's a little more technical, is probably Hacker News from a high level perspective. I think they're pretty, I mean, don't go there if you're faint of heart, because you'll be paranoid. I guarantee you.
And that's, I think a lot of people avoid sites like that just because it's got the word hacker in it. And they're like, I'm trying to learn how to stay away from hurting myself, so maybe I'll just avoid that.
I would agree. Any more last minute tips, Tom?
No, you know, I think we covered it. You know, you got to keep your local device safe. You have to keep your all your software up to date, you know, whether it's on your website or on your local device. And you just gotta, it's got to be vigilant, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how's the best way in your website, please?
The website is wewatchyourwebsite.com. We are in the process of still redoing it, but you know, we will get there.
The shoemaker can't fix his own stuff, as usual. I know that problem.
I've got some customers that they brag about our services on, you know, in the Facebook groups. And the one guy, Justin Korn, will post something about, yeah, his website sucks, but his service doesn't. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, love you too. Yes, I have that problem. I've been in the middle of a website makeover for like 4 months now, and I'm not getting any closer. So there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
And of course, you're on, I assume you're on Twitter. You're on, certainly on Facebook, because that's where I usually talk to you.
Yeah,
on Facebook. Do you play on X at all, or do you avoid the X monster?
We're on X. I still call it Twitter. You know, I still call the Sears Tower the Sears Tower in downtown Chicago. You know, they can call it the Willis Tower, whatever.
Is that what it's called now? Oh, wow.
It was. I'm not. It may have even changed, you know, but I'm a thick-skulled old man, so It's hard to change my ways.
Thanks, Tom. I always appreciate talking security. You have a wonderful day, my friend.
Thanks, Robert. You as well. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Tom for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.